ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24 as we finish up this amazing book on victorious Christian living. And if you remember from our last study, Joshua gathered the leaders in Israel and admonished them to continue in the faith. And now that you got your finger in Joshua 24, we're just going to bump back to Joshua chapter 23, because this is what Joshua told the leaders in Israel, the priests in Israel, as kind of his farewell address to them. And beginning in verse 11, this is what Joshua said. Therefore, take diligent heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they will be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, and not one word of them has failed. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all the good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. You know, Joshua is warning the leaders in Israel that he's going to die, and they need to continue following the Lord, not depart from his ways. There are those blessings in following the Lord and the cursing for not following the Lord. But it was up to them who they were going to serve. And make no mistake about it, Joshua was admonishing the leaders, the priests, to help the people grow in the Lord, not to get sidetracked. But the problem for Joshua is the people were already getting complacent in their walk with the Lord. You know, and again, you know, maybe they were tired of fighting and just wanted to give peace a chance, even if it was with the enemies of their faith. So Joshua, as he speaks to the nation, as we'll see this morning, is going to admonish them to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Why? So they don't go into idolatry, so they don't turn from the Lord. And again, it's a warning to us because it's so easy to get sidetracked. And I'll share this with you. It was one of the greatest speeches ever given from a man who had a way with words, Winston Churchill. I shared one of his speeches on Thursday. This is another one, and this is what we're told. Winston Churchill, one of the greatest orators of the 20th century, was interestingly enough, like Demosthenes and other great orators before him, born with a speech impediment which he worked on until it no longer hindered him. One would never guess this from hearing Churchill's strong and reassuring voice, a voice that would lift up Britain during some of her darkest hours. During the Battle of France, Allied forces became cut off from troops south of the German penetration and perilously trapped at Dunkirk Bridgehead. On May 26, a wholesale evacuation of these troops, dubbed Operation Dynamo, began. The evacuation was an amazing effort. The RAF kept the Luftwaffe, I believe is how you say it, these planes, at bay while thousands of ships from military destroyers to small fishing boats were used to ferry 338,000 French and British troops to safety, far more than anyone had thought possible. On June 4th, Churchill spoke before the House of Commons, giving a report which celebrated the miraculous deliverance at Dunkirk, which, while also seeking to temper a too rosy a view of what was on the whole a colossal military disaster. I have myself full confidence that if all do their duty, Churchill said, if nothing is neglected, and if best arrangements are made, as they are being made, we shall prove ourselves once again able to defend our island home, to ride out the storm of war and to outlive the menace of tyranny. If necessary for years, if necessary alone, at any rate, that is what we're going to try to do. That is the resolve of His Majesty's government, every man of them. That is the will of Parliament and the nation. The British Empire and the French Republic, linked together in their cause and in their need, will defend to the death their native soil, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of their strength. Even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all the Nazi rule, we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And even if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old. Well, you know, it's like I said on Thursday, man, you're ready to go out to battle. You hear that, you go, we're never giving up. Are you kidding me? The enemy's coming against us. We're going to defend our territory. And that's exactly what Joshua is doing here. And it wasn't just a physical battle that he's admonishing them to fight. It was a spiritual battle as well. You see, whoever they chose to serve is what was going to be manifested in their lives. If it's the true and living God, they're going to see the victories and their life will reflect what they believe. If it's the gods that the pagans were worshiping, then that too will be reflected in their lives and they're going to see defeat and in the end captivity. And those are some pretty powerful lessons for us to glean from this chapter. I call this study Choosing, Committing, and Serving. You have to choose this day who you're going to serve. You have to commit your life to the Lord, and as you do, you will serve Him all the days of your life. That's our heart's desire. And I've kind of broken this chapter down into four main points, and again, these are in your bulletin as well. But preparation for commitment, remembering what God has done in verses 1 through 13 of Joshua 24. Confrontation with commitment, making the choice to serve, verses 14 through 18 of Joshua 24. Authentication of commitment, counting the cost in verses 19 through 24. And then confirmation of the commitment, making the covenant in verses 25 through 33. So with that as our background, let's begin reading Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. And let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we study His Word and we finish up this amazing book of Joshua. We're told this. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron. I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. And they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore he continued to bless you, so I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went out over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, but I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. So here we see the leaders of Israel, the priests gathered to hear Joshua, but also all the tribes of Israel are in Shechem, in the heart of the land. And what's Joshua doing? He's recanting their history, how God had kept his word to them by bringing them into the land of Canaan, how God drove out the enemies that were before them. And keep in mind that some 600 years earlier in this very valley, the valley of Shechem, God promised to their father Abraham this land was going to be theirs. 600 years later, God brought that to pass. Also, it was in this valley the priests spoke the cursings and the blessings when they entered into the land. And it was also here that a copy of the law, the book of Deuteronomy, was written on a stone for all to see. Now, here's the problem that some people have. How did all those people that were gathered in this valley hear Joshua speak? They had no sound equipment. How did it work? Because the way these mountains are situated on either side with this valley in the middle, it amplified the sound so they could all hear. And that's exactly what took place. And I think what Joshua's doing here is so important. He's going over their history. He's taking them all the way back to their father Abraham. And remember, Abraham lived on the other side of the Euphrates River in the area of Mesopotamia. That's where he grew up. Now, I realize that, you know, most Jews would die if they heard that their father Abraham was an idol-worshipping Gentile before he got saved. But of course he was. What else was he? God said he took him out of that. But that's what he was before. In fact, he's called a Hebrew, and that word means crossed over. What, crossed over what? The Jordan River. That's what it was about. They crossed over the Jordan River into what? The promised land. The land that God had given to them. And then we're told to Abraham was born Isaac, and unto Isaac was Jacob, who took his family down to Egypt because of a famine. And God wasn't going to leave them down there. He had a plan for them. He was going to bring them into the promised land. And what's interesting here, and again, I think it's so important because we need to be reminded of this, is Joshua is recounting the faithfulness of God to the children of Israel. Listen to this. In verse 3, we see the words, I took, speaking of the Lord. Verse 4, I gave. Verse 5, I sent. Verses 6 through 8, I brought. Verse 10, I would not listen. Verse 11, I delivered. Verse 12, I sent. Verse 13, I have given. The personal pronoun I in speaking of God is used some 17 times in these verses. What does that mean? God's working according to his plan. He's able to fulfill what he's promised. He's doing the work. Was he going to use the children of Israel to accomplish these things? Sure, but it was God who was working. And here's the thing, in knowing that, we should fear the Lord because he's in control. He's Lord over all. That's what Joshua is telling the children of Israel. You know, we look at the things that are going on in the world and we become fearful. And I'm thinking, well, why? Does God not know what's happening? Of course he knows what's happening. It doesn't mean that we hide away. But during the darkest of times, we should shine brightly. Shine for Jesus. Let people see Jesus in us. And I think, again, how easy it is to forget things. Joshua's reminding them that their very existence was the result of God's hand upon their lives. All these things are a work of God. And they needed to walk by faith and see the salvation that God would bring to the situations they faced. I think Psalm 44, verses 1 through 3, remind us of this very thing. It could be even that the psalmist is recanting what Joshua is saying here. The psalm goes like this: "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them." Now, here's the thing. Let's kind of play this out. If God has made all these promises to the children of Israel, and they've come to pass, then isn't he a God that is worth committing our lives to? That's what he's trying to do. Guys, think about all God has done. He loves you this much. Look at all he's done. Commit your life to him. It just makes sense. I think that's important for us to remember what God has done in the past, because of, you know, in many times in the present situations we find ourselves in, it's very difficult. But you look at God's faithfulness in the past and it encourages you in the present situations you're facing. Look, God delivered me out of this. I don't know how he's going to do it here. But here's the thing. I don't need to know how he's going to do it. I just need to know somehow, some way he's going to deliver me. And I can be honest with you. Sometimes I plan out how God's going to deliver me. And I will guarantee you it never really works that way. But I look back and I go, you know, God, that was perfect. Like, duh. But yeah, it was. It was. If you would have listened to me, Lord, I would be in trouble now. But you did it your way and it was perfect. And I thank you for that. We need to do that. But how many times do we forget, or we don't remember all that God has done in our lives? I mean, have you ever just taken an inventory and look, man, I see God's hand here, here, and here. We forget those things. I don't know. You probably heard the story. We were talking about memory today. But you heard the story maybe of the couple. They were in their 90s. And they went to the doctor. They had, you know, some problems remembering things. And the doctor says, you know, physically, you guys are perfect. No problems. I don't find anything wrong. Your memory's a little off. It'd probably be a good idea to write things down. And that way you'll remember them. Well, later that night, they were watching TV, and the old man gets up from his chair and said to his wife, you know, you want anything from the kitchen? Oh, give me a bowl of ice cream, she said. Well, sure. And she said, you know, don't you think you should write it down? You're probably not going to remember what I want. You better write it down. He's like, no, come on. I'll remember. I'll remember. Don't worry. Well, I like some strawberries on the top, too. You better write that down. You're not going to remember both those things. You're going to forget it. I can remember that. You want a bowl of ice cream? With strawberries. Well, put some whipped cream on also. And I'm certain, man, you're going to forget that. You're not going to remember all these things. Now he's getting irritated. You know how that goes. I don't need to write it down. I can remember it. Ice cream with strawberries and whipped cream. I got it, for goodness sake. Come on. Well, he goes into the kitchen. And about 20 minutes later, the old man returns from the kitchen, hands his wife a plate of bacon and eggs. And she stares at the plate. And she goes, where's my toast? All right. That's why we need to set up memorial stones. Memorial stones, remembering what God has done in our past to help us. We don't live in the past. That's a bad thing to do. You know, some people, oh, I remember back in such and such a time, it was perfect back then. I guarantee you there was no time in history that was perfect, okay? Well, there was. When God created the heavens and the earth, Adam and Eve were created, and then they sinned, and that was it. So I don't. However long that lasted, it wasn't very long. But you don't live there. You learn from it. You be encouraged because you see the hand of God upon your life during those times. And again, I think that's what Joshua's doing here. Look at what God has done. You were a people who weren't even a people. God brought you together. He made you into a nation down in Egypt, brought you out of Egypt. Look, it brought you into the promised land. Look at God's hand upon your life. Memorial stones are so important. Turn back to Joshua 4 for a second. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 8 here. And it deals with these memorial stones. And this is what we're told. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That is, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. That's what, in a sense, Joshua is doing here. He's setting up these memorial stones for them to remember all that God has done for them. And because of what God has done, they need to commit their lives to him. And for the children of Israel in Joshua 4, when they set up those memorial stones, they just crossed over the Jordan. Remember, the Jordan was overflowing its banks during that time, and the Lord told Joshua, let the priests go in, carry the Ark of the Covenant into the waters. When their foot touches the waters will open up, and the children of Israel can cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And we said that was kind of interesting that the Ark of the Covenant, inside the Ark of the Covenant, were the tablets of stone where the Ten Commandments were written, the Word of God. Remember how the children of Israel were guided 40 years in the wilderness by the Shekinah glory. The pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day, God was leading them. When the pillar of fire moved or the cloud moved, it was time for children of Israel to move their camp. But now something's changed. It's not the pillar of fire, it's not the cloud, it's the Word of God that's guiding them into the Promised Land. And these memorial stones that they're setting up, when your children ask you, what are those for? Ah, you should have seen what God has done. He brought us into this land. And they can tell the stories of how God brought them in to encourage that next generation and really to help remind them of what God was doing. But at this point in time, in Joshua 4, they hadn't even defeated one enemy yet. And yet those stones were to be a reminder of the faithfulness of God before they even gained a victory. And after they entered the land, then Jericho fell. Ai, after they were defeated by Ai because of sin in the camp. And each time they saw these stones, when they went back to camp, they were reminded of who was fighting for them, who was on their side. It was God. And they battled for 7 long years in the Promised Land. 7 long years of war. And yet God was faithful. And I think that kept them going. Coming back to camp, seeing those stones. Oh yeah, God's fighting for us. We're tired, but man, we're going to gain another victory. And probably another 13 years of each tribe driving out those pockets of resistance that were still in the land. And now they're to pass this information to their children about the faithfulness of God. And now Joshua's passing it on to what? That next generation, the people, as he's passing off the scene. He's going to die soon. Again, this whole section is dealing with preparation for commitment, remembering what God has done. And I think if you really want to commit your life to the Lord, remember what he's done in your life, because you're going to need those things. There have been times over the years where I get discouraged, believe it or not. And my wife reminds me, Joe, do you think God just brought you up here to drop you off? It sounds so silly, right? But it's so simple. Well, of course he didn't. He's still with me as he was when he brought me up here. It's good to remember that. Those memorial stones that we tend to forget so easily. Because as we remember, it'll help us during the darkest of days. As I look back, I can see how God brought me to saving faith. Memorial stones. How did God bring you to saving faith? Those are memorial stones. As I look back, I can see how God opened doors of ministry for me. You know, Bible studies, infant and toddler ministries, children's ministries, assistant pastor, small group leader, and so on. He was preparing me for what was ahead. And as I look back, memorial stones. As I look back, I can see how God called me to be a pastor here in Wisconsin, and he brought it to pass. That's a memorial stone. That's a huge one. As I look back, I can see how God has worked in and through this church over the last 24 years, how he's provided for us and sustained us. Memorial stones. I mean, and that's just a brief summary. I can go on and on. And I'm sure as you look back over your life, you can see what God has done in your life in the past and allow it to be a great comfort and encouragement for what you're facing today. Those memorial stones. And maybe you haven't done that in some time. Sometimes we get into that period of our walk where we don't think about what God has done. And it becomes overwhelming our lives. And we don't even know what to do anymore. I'll tell you what to do. Remember what God has done in the past to encourage you in the present situations you are facing.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.